Thank you. So we are probably, we've got about half an hour on this, and we've got four key questions here around and all leading to what should our role be, and in relation to the future of or of the taxonomy around the foundation. We had four key questions, and I'm going to go through each of those and start with how we allocated them. So, Stephen, I'm going to ask you first. And the first question was around how we perceive the time period of the future environment should be that we are considering in relation to this technology and taxonomy, and what are some of the key assumptions or hypotheses that we need to consider? Stephen.
Yeah, I think in terms of our view on the time period, I think we felt that needed to be a sort of a long-term objective, and that was that the focus should be on a robust and open classification system. However, with technology changes, it was probably right to look at it on a 3 to 5 year basis, really just to refresh our views on where the technology had gone to, but keeping in mind the overall direction that it is a classification system that we're looking at. I think in terms of the rest of the questions, I think we felt that...
Can we come back to you? So we'll just deal with question one first of all. So that's your comments
one
and
B.
Go... Oh,
was
that one B? Oh, yeah, okay, right.
All right.
Didn't have a go for B.
So I think in terms of the question there, I think we felt that there will be a role for structured information. And I think a lot of what we see in practice, and the fact that aggregators now have become very important, and also the fact that we don't really see the information any longer in any written format. I think we looked at there are, I suppose, artificial intelligence, the ways of extracting data, and in a way, I'm not saying the aggregators are artificial intelligence, but they are in a way guessing a little bit without using a structured format such as the IFRS taxonomy. So I think the IFRS taxonomy, I think we felt was important because it does give some credibility to the numbers. We also discussed, you know, whether the taxonomy at the moment was complete enough, and that maybe as new developments such as non-GAAP measures and the MD&A, that the taxonomy should be part of that process that we develop the taxonomy to ensure that we remain relevant in terms of the information that we have. I think the only other point, and I think that goes back to the fact that maybe we're not as linked to necessary XBRL, but that we need to be looking at the classification system itself. And while the current XBRL may be clunky in terms of how you use it, there will be probably advances either by XBRL or by others that will make it more of a matrix-type structure, which will make it easier for people to use in practice. I think that was it.
Okay. So each of you, I think, did get to question one, even though you may have gone through round in a different way. Ken, did your group consider in terms of the time period? And did you agree with Stephen around the, yes, the long term, but also look at the 3 to 5?
I think we saw this as a very fast-moving process regime. And so... And so a quicker strategy or quicker time frame would be more appropriate than a longer time frame. But I think the key thing that came out in our group's discussion was we were very cautious about the underlying assumptions that were proposed here. And part of that went back to some history that we had of the development of XBRL in the 2000s and the lack of take-up that occurred in that period, because neither the investors nor preparers saw it as a problem solver at that time. And we now see the development of XBRL being quite honestly driven by regulators and for regulatory filing purposes, rather than by investors. And our perception of the current environment, how investors are using electronic data, is that they're bypassing XBRL. They're obtaining the Excel data packs that firms provide. They do their own analysis, sorting that data. And they're making use of technology that finds patterns, that learns, and that is extraordinarily cheap compared to even what it was 18 months ago. So in that world, the investor world is actually not using structured data. It's very important that they have definitions and classifications, but the way data is organised, they'll do it themselves. They're not really using XBRL. And that was the sort of environment that we saw that led us on to the second, third, fourth questions.
I was going to say, we'll cover those a bit later about how that fits with the taxonomy itself. Ron, did you have your group have anything additional on question one?
I wouldn't say anything really that additional other than I think we concur, the pace of change is going to be pretty rapid here, so maybe a 3 to 5 year outlook is maybe the right answer in that regard. I think everybody does believe that XBRL is here to stay at least for the short term or medium term. I mean, there doesn't appear to be anything else out there. That seems to be, what's being used. So until, something faster, better, cheaper is out there, XBRL is going to be here. And the assumptions are that it'll continue to be improved. And, the uptakes will be there. It's just a matter of how quickly. So.
Okay. And Holger?
Well, I mean, my addition would be, we also have the 3 to 5 year period and not beyond that. Mm-hmm. In addition, what I found interesting is that the regulator said that XBRL will be around for at least the medium term because it is incorporated in law to some extent. Second, I think what's also uncertain is not only the technology but also the development of information intermediaries. With that technology and with those developments. So let's say the data providers we have today may not be the same we have tomorrow because of different abilities to grab the data, etc. I think those would be the core additions.
Okay, I am going to be that disruptor that we don't have enough of in the ISB, and I'm going to change the slight focus of this discussion to things that in particular Ken and Holger have alluded to, and what I heard go round in the groups around the future of, if you like, the distinct things of the taxonomy, XBRL, other technologies, the regulators and the investors. Because, and the part of why I'm driving around this is that we have each and the assumption, and in fact an assumption I think that Neely put in their papers, is assume XBRL is there and that the comment that it is the regulators driving XBRL. But then the comment that you made, Ken, around the fact that the investors are getting their data in a completely different way. They're not using XBRL, and it's a much more efficient way. And so in some ways I'm going to come down to, and we'll come back for further comments, almost that fourth question. If that is the environment in the next few years, and you see that fast-paced change around that, where does that leave us in terms of our taxonomy? And just thinking about the actual taxonomy, what can or should we do if that is going to be that environment? And I'm going to turn to you. No, actually, I'm going to turn to Ken first because he raised it first. Ken, where did your group get to, effectively, as you said, around the rest of those questions, around that?
Well, we had a big debate, and I'm not sure we had an end conclusion.
The debate's good.
When we get the notes, we might find one hidden in there somewhere. But a lot of our debate was actually about the XBRL taxonomy and the standards. Where does standards stop and where does XBRL start? And we saw that the ISB in effect owns the definitions, owns the classification, and that's the critical underlying kind of data point. But when you're starting to aggregate those data points up, and bear in mind that the regulators are wanting thousands and thousands of data points and regulatory filings, well, I think where we were at was find out what's going on in the technology at the moment. Find out what the ways of using and doing these aggregations and doing the structures actually are, and where the ISB should be positioning itself in making its definition and classifications facilitate that to happen, rather than getting into that game and trying to produce a competing product to Google or something like that.
So if I could sum that up, and because I read it in the one set of notes that I did see, somebody said that the ISB should own what we can control and be technology agnostic.
Certainly channel agnostic. I mean, we're so used to it as a set of financial statements, but we can sort of see that we're moving to an electronic age where you're dealing with data rather than documents.
Holger, did your group pursue the thought around, you know, that XBRL and it's driven by regulators and in a similar way to Ken's group?
Well, to be honest, not particularly, because our task was to explicitly assume we would be working under XBRL.
Okay,
to
all
be
right.
To be honest, no, seriously.
You followed the rules.
That's
you'd be a good employee of the foundation. Sorry, Holger.
No, but seriously, that's the honest reason.
Yes.
Not
okay.
too informative,
yeah.
but honest.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Stephen, did your group, I know I threw the grenade into your group,
yeah.
but did you consider, yeah, would you like to comment on where you got to?
I don't think we really discussed that, but I think it's important to look at the fact that any data source that you use is going to have some sort of taxonomy. And it's whether that taxonomy has credibility or not. I think anybody using any data can use a structure. And I think the fact that we said we're going to assume XBRL was to take XBRL off the table, because it's any technology.
Yeah.
It's just using a set standard or a set taxonomy in which you can then structure the data. So I saw it more as we took XBRL off the table, because XBRL isn't ours, and we can use any data.
Any technology
to do this, and technology will change. XBRL will change. XBRL at the moment is very clunky. It could be on a matrix basis would be a lot better way of doing things. And so, you know, I think the important thing is actually having a credible taxonomy that allows you to have good information.
Which, in fact, is a very similar answer from what I'm hearing to what Ken's saying. And, in fact, what you're saying too, Holger. Yeah,
I mean,
comment?
I definitely agree. For us, it's important that the things are electronically tagged and downloadable and available. You know, this precise technology in how you do that, that's not really...
Ron, did your group consider this as I've articulated it?
Well, maybe not exactly, but I think we consider that XBRL is going to be here and be used, but again, it's that's not the critical thing. The critical thing is the taxonomy and you know, having a standard out there that we give validity to, right? And I think that was really important. I did want to come back to one of the things you mentioned. You talked about some of the key constituents out there, and I think one of the things you mentioned was that there's maybe not a lot of usage out there of some of this data today. And I think we question, is that really true or not? Because there's the constituents that you didn't mention, the data aggregators, that I think to a great extent they are using it. And that's probably, if it's out there, I would assume, and again, I don't know, but I would assume that's going to be the first place they go. So a lot of the data that, you know, maybe investors directly aren't using it, the XBRL data, but data aggregators are. So I think that's maybe a constituent group that we should probably get more engaged with, because if the market is the market, and you know, we can't ignore it. So if they're going to be out there, we need to make sure that we're having a pretty good dialogue with them. And, you know, do they have the understanding of it? Are they applying it appropriately, et cetera, like that? Because they're really what's out there and making the market in that regard.
Others talk about actually having the dialogue with those aggregators, because my understanding is we don't at the moment have a particularly strong dialogue with the aggregators.
Okay. No, I mean, we had a conversation about, and it goes really to the next question, but the fact that we're just an enabler in this, and we've got to rely on other people to actually use that. And I think one of the users is obviously the data aggregators. And so there may be a benefit in partnering, but I think partnering on a more associated basis rather than necessarily an exclusive basis. And that may be the same for partnering with the regulators. You know, maybe at an IOSCO level would be the place to start. But, you know, the fact is that one of the challenges we have is we're only an enabler. We can't mandate this to happen. And therefore, we have to work with others that do have that credibility to do it. Yeah.
Okay, having broken all the rules, and being, no, Holger?
Yeah, because we had a quite extensive discussion about the data aggregators. I mean, on the one hand, this could be an information source, an information channel, because they are close to a subset of users of information, so they understand the market demands to some extent. Yet at the same time, it's to some extent also unclear what their incentives are. There are some incentives to cooperate with us, because XBLR potentially makes it simpler and less costly for them to collect the information. However, long term, there may be a threat to their business model if it gets so easy to collect that to collect that information. We should also try to increase the magnitude of data available with those data providers, because at the moment, not a lot of disclosures which are available in the financial or in the public reports are actually do appear in the databases.
Any other comments around the data aggregators at this point?
Certainly our group suggested talking to Google for example, but also the data aggregators, you've got the business people that have that as a business model to sell to collect and sell that data, but there is also we heard in our group from one bank that had done an analysis of industry data that 18 months ago would have been considered almost impossible or would have cost over $1 million, and the cost they put doing it today was $50. It's a competitive business for the data aggregators on this. That's what that tells me.
Okay, I am now, as I said, having broken all the rules, I'm now going to go back to the questions in order. So just the number two question around, have we captured all of the challenges? And I think we've covered some extra ones anyway, but are there any others that we haven't captured in the discussion that we've had so far? And I'm going to start with Ron.
Thank you. And I think the one that comes out to me is just the data quality. And again, it's not around the taxonomy itself, but from an industry perspective, the data quality isn't there, it isn't what it needs to be currently. So, you know, what can we do from an outreach perspective to go out there to the constituents to find out why are they having problems, you know, getting the data correct, I think is part of it. You know, is it a lack of understanding? Are there problems with the taxonomy? It sounded like I took away that we needed a little bit more outreach in that regard. I think that was
okay.
The key point.
Ken, did you have additional challenges other than those we've already talked about?
Other than the ones we've talked about, probably the challenge is the intersection with the standards, because in the standards we're actually defining the accounting language, we're putting the definitions in place. So we see a challenge that the impact the the taxonomy has on the standards and the standards has on the taxonomy being a critical challenge to manage.
Okay. Stephen, did you have additional ones?
Yeah, I think I mean, I think one of the issues is a challenge is the extensions that are used and the level and that produces greater incompatibility between the information. And I think anchoring, we heard as a new term for me anyway, I think is a good step forward and some protocols around how you actually do that. And I think also some protocols around how regulators actually put their own extensions in as well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to start interpreting a little bit the way standards are written. And I think also reliability. I think if the ISB's name is on something, then you'll be associated with it. And I think at some stage we have to look at how there's assurance given on those taxonomies or the information to ensure that there's the brand is actually supported.
So coming back to the anchoring and the protocols around that, do you see that as a role, did your group see that as a role of the foundation, or it's simply that it is a challenge for the use of electronic data?
I mean, I think it's both. I think I would hope that the ISB could look at it in terms of providing some guidance on that protocol might work, and also give some credence to the anchoring itself as being the way to use the taxonomy.
So it comes back to us being the enabler, as you said, and then the collaboration to try to influence them to use these things, so to come up with something to help to do that. Holger, other challenges that your group had?
I mean, one thing is really the where to put the boundaries in. That also relates to the extensions. Yeah. We also had an extensive discussion about the extensions because for us it also wasn't fully clear, you know, where are the boundaries between what's mandated IFRS standards, what's common industry practice, may even, let's say, other things outside of IFRS flow into the IFRS, world. And there could be many reasons for those extensions, like national standard setters, requirements, etc., PP. So at the minimum, I think one should probably further subcategorize those extensions into different drivers of those extensions or different reasons for those drivers, because then we could employ, let's say, different filters as a user. So more details on the extensions would be helpful. Yeah, and then on a broader scale, of course, if you have tagged the footnotes, then the next question came up: what about the narratives? Yeah, what about management commentary, etc., PP? But that's then probably the next step.
Okay. I'm going to move on to the next question, and that and the final question we've covered a fair bit of, but in terms of question three anyway, what else could be done, and I've put in, and by whom, to support the high quality electronic financial reporting and its consumption, and tied up to that, what should our role be? Juan. Obviously, we've covered some of it.
We did, and we debated this pretty strongly. A very good debate. I think the thought that we kind of landed on a big need for education out here, especially with regulators. You know, we look at, you know, they are certainly going to be the ones that have to drive the adoption on this. And you know, we talked, should we lobby the regulators? Maybe that's a little bit too far, but we certainly believe that, you know, it's going to come one way or another. So is it going to be on this basis or some other basis? Mm-hmm. And we believe, I think, collectively that, you know, having an international standard is certainly the appropriate basis there. But we do think that the foundation should be out there working to educate, you know, the different constituents, certainly regulators being at the top of the list, on the value of this and, you know, how we can get from, you know, A to B, so to speak. So.
So on the basis that, coming back to, that we are an enabler and that maybe, in fact, the regulators aren't the drivers, in fact, that the third-party aggregators will be, if not today, tomorrow, the drivers, still, so going out and talking to, encouraging whoever, whichever third party.
Mm-hmm. Or multiple third parties.
Or multiple third parties.
Yeah.
Okay. Ken, further from your group that you haven't already talked about?
Yeah, could I just almost reinforce that point, multiple third parties? Mm-hmm. We actually saw a risk that we'd be servicing regulators rather than servicing investors. Mm. If we just focus on the XBRL taxonomy for regulatory filing purposes. So we've invested, there's investment in that, there's some cost in that, it's going to happen, we've heard the RTS, so we need to ensure the credibility of that and the risks associated with that are managed. But probably the real game is actually the unstructured data game for investors.
Okay. Andrew, further?
I just wanted to raise a perception issue that I think is really out there, and that is that the ISB is not really making a clear message of support for XBRL or for the taxonomy. And I say that because I think there was a lot of, I got a lot of good feedback, and we as a firm got a lot of good feedback when the ED, I think it was IFRS 7, came out with the attachment of the XBRL or the taxonomy. And I think it was a little bit concerning when the next thing we hear is the board said it was too burdensome. And we felt that a lot of people did actually appreciate that. I know there were a lot of responses to it, and there was a lot of good information came back. And I do think maybe if this is around push as an enabler pushing this forward, I think a very clear message that things have changed, I think, from the past. Mm-hmm. We have ESMA now supporting this. I think it would be good to have some very positive things and maybe reconsider having the taxonomy as part of the ED process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Holger? Sorry, I called you Andrew.
I think most things have already been said, so I think I keep incorporated into answer to question four, so I have more time on the important question four, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, with regard what should be our role, I summarize here six theses. So the first one is that we should focus on our own abilities and what's under our control, so really the taxonomy, all the extensions, and our products. Second, we should actively keep promoting the idea of having this easy accessibility of electronic data or the kind of the messaging what Stephen just said. Third would be we should take an active coordinating role within the wider community, especially the security leaders and others which have an interest in further promoting. We think that only like a joint effort of those interested parties can move things together. Still, the ISB can take an active role, active if not leading role in coordinating that effort. Fourth point, we should not give up early by the response of people who say, yeah, people are not using it and so forth. Because so far, there's not a lot of evidence we have, only with the SEC EDGAR downloads, but for many reasons I could discuss in more detail, that's not the perfect proxy. It's also not an EDPAR comparison if on the one hand you have a very reliable signal in the PDF document and you have a very noisy, unaudited, unverified, potentially crappy signal somewhere in the electronic taggings. So you shouldn't give up early on this feedback. Yeah, no one is using it. Fifth point, I think to some extent we need to be patient, don't give up early, and keep persistently working on it. Over time, I think that change will come, because obviously everyone supports this idea of having that information easily accessible electronically via a computer. So it's just a matter of timing, not that things will be coming. And the last point, do not worry too much about the potential reputation risk if some firms have, let's say, some mis-entries or so in the XBLR filings, because I mean that's their application responsibility to some extent. So we didn't, I mean, the issue was brought up, what about our reputation mm-hmm. risk mm-hmm. if there are issues? And I think it's fair to say that the vast consensus in the room was that that wasn't considered to be really the big issue, because there are a lot of other parties involved in preparing the material. Yeah. So those would be the six theses we developed in summary in report to the strategy.
And I think that that's a really great summary, and I think actually encapsulates most of what we've been talking about for the last half an hour or so. Stephen, did you have anything to add to that in terms of... And that's a closed question again, Jake.
I think the only thing additional to that is I think we did discuss a little bit about whether there should be some outreach to investors. At this point in time, given there are some changes with ESMA's direction, mm-hmm. Really to try and get some feedback to really try and justify a little bit more, I suppose, mm-hmm. the direction we're taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we had that too, so I take number seven. Yeah,
add
to
all
the
right,
investors, the database providers.
Yeah. Ken?
No.
No. Okay. Ron? Any comments from the floor before I try to sum that up? I think that there's been, and I hope Neil is smiling, so I think we have provided some valuable input. So I sum up, and I, go, Stephen.
So I just wanted to make an admission of a bias here. So I think 20 years ago, I was sat in Singapore University with a lot of academics and Charles Hoffman, and we were going through a long discussion about XML and XBRL, most of which I didn't understand at all. But suddenly he said, IAS, and we should be using this on international accounting standards, at which case I put my hand up. And I think I'm telling you this story is something you should never do is volunteer. But a month later, we produced the first IFRS taxonomy, which was written by myself and a senior manager from our Singapore office. And it was based on the Deloitte pro forma financial statements. So at least for a start, it was very good for Deloitte's. But one of the things I mentioned that for is there was a comment when we discussed it that maybe one way of helping might be to get the Big Four to tag their pro forma financial statements to the taxonomy. I will take that back. But it might be
suggestion.
A positive for the Big Four to see that they are supporting this.
Mm. I think that's a great suggestion.
Same for the IFRS Foundation's reports. This is what came up in our group.
You have them for the IFRS Foundation report? Okay, good. I was just thinking about the time frame, and Ken and I were probably sitting around a table in New Zealand at about that time frame talking about XBRL, and I said, it's never going anywhere. Oops. Anyway, to sum up where I've got to, and I think I could have used Holger's summary, but I've got it slightly in different words, but where I think I've got four key points here that I think have come out of this overall. Keep doing the work on the taxonomy as it is fundamental to our standards, and think about the interaction of the two, the taxonomy and the standards, and stand behind the taxonomy. You know, stand up and say we own this and we love it and et cetera, et cetera. Second, it's not the role of the ISB to go the whole journey, but to own what we can control and be technology agnostic. Next steps, acknowledging that we are only an enabler, consider creative means of how we influence or collaborate with multiple intermediaries and end users. In particular, think about the third-party data aggregators and regulators, but other intermediaries and end users. And finally, reputation risk for the foundation is not a big issue. And I think that's where I sum up, and it seems really weird that I can do it in four short bullet points of that incredibly granular depth of insight. So thank you to everybody. Well, does anyone disagree with my summing up? You're allowed to. No? Okay. Sum up, thank you to everybody for your contribution, but particularly you for bearing with me for not sticking with the rules. Okay.
No problem.
Thank you.